Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pichani Nivase Shunyavani Paskachadi Sitani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this is the we finished the Bhagavad Gita a few days ago. Now we're going back to the beginning. But so Vyasaki Prabhu gave class yesterday on the preface, so they want me to speak on the last half of the preface. It begins on page 100. It's a Roman numeral. XV11. That's 10, 11, 12. Page 12. What? 19. Page 19. Anyway, the preface, beginning of the book, page 19. So when Srila Prabhupada went to America, 1966, there was no bona fide edition of Bhagavad Gita in English. He had written one manuscript in India, but somehow he lost it. Then he wrote another manuscript in New York, and somehow someone stole that. Then he compiled another manuscript. But first, the Bhagavad Gita was printed in an abridged edition, had a blue cover, Krishna on it, which means it was mostly just the verses without its purports. So Prabhupada wasn't happy with that, but still people read that and became devotees. So then Prabhupada started his mission after 1 year of struggling in New York. He got a fixed residence on the Lower East Side, 2nd Avenue, which was that time where the hippies, so-called hippies. They asked Prabhupada, "What's a hippie?" He said something extraordinary. So the hippie culture was people who were against the modern way of life, against the establishment, but they were addicted to taking drugs and still trying to enjoy life, but they looking for something, an alternative to the material way of life that their family was following. So Prabhupada established finally got established in the Second Avenue after so much, 1 year of struggle. And then his people started coming to his lecture. He would give Bhagavad Gita lecture 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And he would have kirtan in Thompson Square Park for 3 hours every day. At the same time, he was writing his manuscript for the Bhagavad Gita and other books. His first book was Easy Journey to Other Planets. Then came Teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Nectar of Devotion in the Krishna book. So I'm not sure which book was first, but the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada felt there was a need that there be a Bhagavad Gita, an authorized Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, he only had 40 rupees in his pocket. That was a 2-hour spending in New York. And that was given to him by his son just before he got on the boat in Jaladuta. He probably went there penniless. He was penniless. He didn't know anyone. He had a sponsor, Agarwals, in a small town in Pennsylvania. But they didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. At least the man was from Mathura. He may have known something, but the wife didn't know anything. And they weren't following any of the principles. Anyway, Prabhupada went there and accepted their hospitality, whatever they offered to him. And he really had to tolerate so many things. He said, think nothing of it. At least they didn't smoke cigarettes in front of him. But they did have a cat. They put the cat food in the refrigerator where all the other boga. Bad food, smelled bad. But anyway, Prabhupada said, think nothing of it. And Prabhupada had brought with him his 3-tiered cooker. So he cooked for himself, he cooked for them too. And he managed there for a little while. They couldn't even give him a room. He had to sleep on the couch in the living room. Then they took him to the YMCA where he had a small room, which was a couple blocks away. So he stayed at the YMCA and then he went to Agarwal's house during the daytime. And then Prabhupada, they arranged some programs, Prabhupada did some preaching. And then Prabhupada went to New York and started stayed with Dr. Mishra, uptown Swami, but he was a Mayavadi. So Prabhupada gave 2 lectures there, then Dr. Mishra wouldn't let him speak anymore. But anyway, he stayed there for some time. Then he got another location, and he was writing his manuscript for the Bhagavad Gita. And he had a typewriter, a manual typewriter, and he was typing with 2 fingers. He didn't know how to type. He didn't take typing in school. So it was a difficult job. And one day someone stole his Bhagavad Gita and stole his typewriter. So he had to start over. So he stole his manuscript, so he had to start over again. Anyway, Prabhupada pursued all these things. And he finally came out with this Bhagavad Gita as it is. So One day, Brahmananda was there in New York, and at that time they were selling records to people that they had made in somewhere in and they had gotten an order for a record from a man from Macmillan Company, which was one of the largest publishing houses in America. So Brahmananda put on his you know, ordinary clothes, went to the Macmillan Company, and Prabhupada said, when you're there, you tell them to ask them to print our Bhagavad Gita. So Brahmananda didn't know what to do, but Prabhupada told him to do that. So he went there to sell a record, and he met the man he was talking to was in the accounts office and didn't have anything to do with the publishing of books. Well, while Brahmananda was there, one of the editors from the Macmillan Company came in the office, and Brahmananda told him that we have a manuscript of this Bhagavad Gita as it is. We would like you to publish it. And the man said, well, that's very good. We've been looking for this Bhagavad Gita, publish this Bhagavad Gita. So he agreed to do it. And then, so that's how the Bhagavad Gita got printed in New York, the first printing. So this preface is the, generally there in books, there's an introduction, preface, foreword. These things, the preface is meant to give introduction to what the book's all about. So it's there in most books, but it's not part of the book. It's part of the book, but it's some people read it, some people don't read it. But somehow we're giving class on this preface. So I'll read it by paragraph and comment on what Prabhupada is saying here. We know that whatever Prabhupada did was transcendental and on the platform, spiritual platform. It's like a new movie came out and everybody can relish that. Prabhupada's lifetime, how he prepared himself, how he came to New York and how he did so many things in such a short time. Man, at an advanced age, he would travel around the world 14 times in 10 years. Wherever he went, he would have the same program, give the Bhagavatam class. Sometimes he gave Bhagavad Gita class. But he would only sleep at most 4 hours a day. He'd take rest at 10 o'clock, wake up at 12 o'clock, and then he would chant japa for some time, and then he would start his translating work. So before he came to India, he finished 3 copies of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he had brought 3 trunks of books with him to sell in New York. At least he had something to make some income. Even he sold three books to the captain of the ship, gave him $20, which is a good amount of money in those days. Now it's nothing. You go in the store, you can buy 2 or 3 items, you spend $20. Anyway, so Prabhupada was empowered by Krishna. He was, some say, the Shaktivesh avatar. You know, somehow he prayed to Krishna, why do you send me to this place? And Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan. It was a village at that time There was no cars, no truck, no auto rickshaws, very little noise and confusion, everything. You know, the roads were all paved. They were down in front of the temple was a few huts. And shops were mostly huts, and it was just a simple village. And now it's turned into a metropolis, like a small town. So Prabhupada came from that atmosphere where a lot of people were Krishna conscious, people were chanting, and people were sadhus, and temples everywhere, and you know, the whole spiritual atmosphere was surcharged to a place where the mode of passion, ignorance, was prominent. Hardly anybody was in the mode of goodness. And in fact, no one knew anything about Krishna consciousness. At most, there was some Vedanta society, like the Ramakrishna Mission, but they were Mayavadis. They said God didn't have a form. And they were teaching Mayavadi commentary, Mayavadi philosophy, which is not acceptable to Vaishnavas. The Lord Chaitanya condemned, said if we hear Mayavadi philosophy, we'll fall down. So we should not hear Mayavadi philosophy because it doesn't make sense and it doesn't give one bring one to the ultimate goal of life, prema bhakti, pure Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada's words, Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada's kirtan, Prabhupada's books, everything Prabhupada did was like a touchstone. When you have a touchstone, whatever you touch with it, it turns to gold. So Prabhupada brought Vrindavan with him. Wherever he went, the atmosphere was surcharged. The devotees were very excited and ecstatic, and it was very enlivening to just be in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. And Lord Shiva told his wife, Parvati, that the worship of Vishnu, worship of the demigods, is recommended. Radhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Radhanam Param. The worship of the demigods is mentioned, but better than that is the worship of Vishnu, but even better than that is the worship of the devotee or service to the devotee. So by hearing what the nine process devotion service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, by hearing from Prabhupada, we're worshiping Prabhupada, we're practicing the nine processes of devotional service. And Prabhupada wanted his devotees to distribute his books, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book. So the devotees were going out very enthusiastically distributing Prabhupada's books. But at the same time, Prabhupada said, well, you're distributing my books, and people say, well, well, what's in that book? And they said, we don't know. We're just distributing them. So Prabhupada said, not only should we distribute his books, but we should also read his books. So he said that at least 1 hour a day, we should take the time to read Prabhupada's books, 1 hour a day, systematically. We should read every single word that Prabhupada wrote, because he said, if you don't do that, you'll become lazy. So that we have so much time to read Prabhupada's books. If you can't read Prabhupada's books, and you can listen to the narration of Amala Bhakta, he narrating all the books, and you can follow along in the book, or you can have someone read to you, or whatever works for you, so that you can keep yourself in the mode of goodness by hearing the spiritual sound vibration, Shabda Brahman. This is coming from Prabhupada. And those of us who are initiated by Prabhupada and joined the movement in the early days, we appreciate hearing Prabhupada's lectures, we appreciate hearing Prabhupada's kirtan. If we have service, that requires some, you know, we have some kind of service, either cooking in the kitchen or sewing, making garlands or washing, doing other services, it's always nice to play Prabhupada Kirtan to keep us, keep our minds controlled so we don't just think, you know, just get caught up in with our mind, listen to our mind. So to do some service, it's very enlivening to have Prabhupada in chanting kirtan, chanting bhajan in the background. There are other Vaishnava devotees also sing very nice kirtans. We can play them too. But for Prabhupada disciples, especially, we especially relish hearing Prabhupada kirtan. From the time we wake up in the morning, the time we go to sleep. So if you have the facility, you can always have kirtan, some kind of kirtan going on. Nowadays with modern technology, there's so many gizmos and gadgets you can use to play kirtan and have kirtan. So in this, the second half of the preface, I'll read the first paragraph. If personally I have any credit in this matter, which is talking about compiling Bhagavad Gita. If I have any credit in this matter, it's only that I've tried to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, without adulteration. Before my presentation of Bhagavad Gita as it is, almost all the English editions of Bhagavad Gita were introduced to fulfill someone's personal ambition. But our attempt in presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is to present the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Our business is to present the will of Krishna, not that of any mundane speculator like the politicians, philosophers, or scientists, for they have very little knowledge of Krishna, despite all their knowledge. When Krishna says, Mamma, Mamana Baba Madbhakto, Mam Yaji Mam Namaskaru, etc., we, unlike the so-called scholars, do not say that Krishna and his inner spirit are different. Krishna is absolute, and there's no difference between Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, etc. This absolute portion of Krishna is the system of parampara, the sacred succession. Generally, the so-called scholars, politicians, philosophers, and swamis, without perfect knowledge of Krishna, tried to banish or kill Krishna when writing commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Such unauthorized commentaries upon Bhagavad Gita is known as Mayavadi Bhashya. And Lord Chaitanya warned us about this, these unauthorized men. Lord Chaitanya clearly says that anyone who tries to understand Bhagavad Gita from the Maya Vyuti point of view will commit a great blunder. The result of such blunder will be that the misguided student of Bhagavad Gita will certainly be bewildered on the path of spiritual guidance and will not be able to go back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada's mission was to present the will of Krishna. So when they were trying to incorporate the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the lawyer said you should call it the International Society for God Consciousness, or that would be more acceptable to society. But Prabhupada said, no, I want to call it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we want to establish that Krishna is not an impersonal conception or Mayavadi conception, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Nanda Adi Govindam Sarvakar Karanam. Krishna means the all-attractive one, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, no one is equal to or greater than Him. So this is for, nowadays many people are atheists, they don't believe in God. But when there's some disturbance or natural disaster, then people pray to God. So, this is the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, was to, Prabhupada's target was to wipe out or erase anybody, any kind of Mayavadi conception of the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna sent Lord Shiva as Shankaracharya to preach Mayavadi philosophy because people were Buddhists at that time and to bring people back to the Vedas. So he did write a commentary on Srimad Bhagavad Gita, but he didn't write a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam because he knew that was something he shouldn't touch. But other Mayavadis did write commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. So, eventually, the whole purpose of Shankaracharya's appearance was to bring people back to Krishna, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda. He said that, worship Govinda. So when Prabhupada went to America, he had a English edition of the Bhagavad Gita by Dr. Radhakrishna, who was the Vice President of India at that time. In this verse, Mamana Bhava Mad Bhakto, he comments that it's not Krishna, it's Krishna from within. What's the misunderstanding? There's no such thing. Krishna is absolute, there's no separation between Krishna and Krishna's words, Krishna's pastimes, everything's on an absolute platform. But so those of us who are following Krishna consciousness, we try to follow this program. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer obeisances to me. So we do that every single day from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we go to sleep, where we do these things, being devotees of Krishna. So Prabhupada said there's many unauthorized commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. If you go in a bookstore, there's many, maybe, I don't know how many now, but there were 20-30 commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. But none of them were able to make one single devotee of Krishna. So most of the Bhagavad Gita's you don't even understand that Krishna's talking to Arjuna or what it's actually being said. It's just some juggling words, mumble jumble. Juggle the words, Krishna's words, make it sound good. So Srila Vyasadeva, he compiled all the Vedic literatures, then he compiled the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, in the fifth chapter, is the Bhagavad Gita, which is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra, just before the battle is about to begin. So it's 700 verses, but the conversation between Arjuna and Krishna only was very short, 45 minutes to 1 hour, just to convince Arjuna they should fight the battle, and that the battle was going to go on, whether he fought the battle or not. It wasn't to stop the battle, but it was to convince Arjuna that it was his duty to fight. So it's a personal conversation, it's a personal interaction between Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna wasn't speaking to some void or some impersonal conception, something imaginary. A lot of times the philosophers, scientists, they think that this Krishna consciousness movement and philosophy is in mythology, because they say the world began 3,000 years ago. Modern civilization began 3,000 years ago. So the Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. There's 2,000 years where there was nothing. There was a zero. But how can that's not possible? There was this, from Dwapara Yuga, the Kali Yuga gradually came into influence, but there's always been some kind of civilization in the world. From the time of Lord Brahma, Satya Yuga, Straita Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga, there's always been, the world's always been populated, not on this planet, but on all planets, and there's always been civilizations on all planets, all over the world. So this is a misconception. They teach in the school Darwin's theory of evolution, which is also speculation and he didn't know anything about the soul, so he couldn't give a proper theory. His theory is all wrong. Just like if you have a bank balance, bank account, you make a mistake on the beginning of the month on your account, how much is in your account, then your account is always, your balance is always going to be wrong. So Darwin didn't know anything about the soul, didn't know anything about evolution, so his whole theory is completely wrong, that the less intelligent beings more intelligent beings come from less intelligent beings, that man evolved from a lower species to a higher species. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, we know, Tene Brahma Ridaye Harikavaye, that Krishna spoke to Brahma. Brahma is the original grandfather, because Krishna is the original person, then Brahma is the secondary. Krishna is the original creator, then Brahma is the secondary creator. And then from Brahma, he created all different kinds of living entities, progenitors of mankind, to populate all the whole universe. So in this way, Brahma is the most intelligent being, and from him all other beings came into existence. So it's not the less intelligent, not that someone with no brain can come become a Nobel Prize winner. Not that a retarded person can become a Nobel Prize winner. It's just the other way around. The most intelligent was Brahma. And from him, all the other species came into existence, 8,400,000 species. Our only purpose is to present the Bhagavad Gita. It is in order to guide the conditioned student to the same purpose for which Krishna descended to this planet once in a day of Brahma, or every 8,600,000,000 years. So when Krishna comes, once in a day of Brahma, then Lord Chaitanya also comes. When Krishna Varnam Trisar Krishnam, we know that Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar, or Kali Yuga. So he comes at the same time. When Krishna comes in Dwapara Yuga, once in a day of Brahma, then Lord Chaitanya also comes. And Namo Mahavandaya Krishna Premadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nogirta Seminaha. So Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, and he's the most munificent incarnation, which means he gave what no other incarnation gives. He gave prema bhakti, or pure love for Krishna, without any any strings attached, or any, he gave it freely to every man, woman, and child, wherever he met. And but Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna came, spoke Bhagavad Gita. He first demanded that you surrender unto me, Sarvadharma Pichaksha. So we're very fortunate that we were able to be in this Kali Yuga where Lord Chaitanya come to give Prem Bhakti. There's four yugas when Krishna incarnates, four incarnations of the Lord, red, white, black, and yellow. So Lord Chaitanya comes as Gaur Narayan in other Kali Yugas and gives Aishwarya Bhav. He doesn't give Prema Bhav. Only in this Kali Yuga, and this time when Krishna appears, does he also appear. So this is quite amazing information. It's not mythology. It's not, Prabhupada didn't make this up. It's coming from the authority of Sri Vyasadeva, from the authority of all the acharyas, that Krishna came to this planet 8,600,000,000 years ago. No, that Krishna came to this planet once, he comes to this planet once in every 8,600,000 years. So other incarnations come. There was always yuga avatars, but Krishna himself came as in the black complexion and performed his wonderful pastimes once in the day of Brahma. His purpose is stated in Bhagavad Gita. We've accepted it as it is. Otherwise, there's no point in trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita and its speaker, Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna first spoke sun god, Bhagavad Gita, the sun god, some hundred millions of years ago. We have to accept this fact and thus understand the historical significance of Bhagavad Gita without misinterpretation on the authority of Krishna. To interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is the greatest offense. In order to save oneself from this offense, one has to understand the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as was directly understood by Arjuna, Lord Krishna's first disciple. Such understanding of Bhagavad Gita is really profitable and authorized for the welfare of human society in fulfilling the mission of life. So Krishna spoke to Vibhasana, the sun god, 120 million years ago. So Arjuna asked, how is this possible? And Krishna said, he said that both you and I were there. I can remember, but you can't. So since his spirit soul was there, Arjuna was there, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita 120 million years ago. He spoke the science of Bhagavad Gita. What the format was, we don't know. At least I don't know. It wasn't the same as in this Bhagavad Gita, but the essence was there to surrender to Krishna. And it says to interpret Bhagavad Gita without any reference to the will of Krishna is the greatest offense. So we know that to commit offenses and while practicing devotional service or commit offenses will, one has a subtle reaction, whether it's small or big. Of course, to offend Krishna, that's the big offense. But even worse than that is to offend a Vaishnava, offend a devotee. When Srivasta Kaur was doing kirtan in his house, the Srivasta Sangam in Navadvip, they wouldn't let everybody enter the kirtan. Only intimate associates of the Lord were allowed to enter. So one Brahmin was envious of Srivasta Kaur, and because of that, he decided to discredit Srivasta Kaur as being a devotee. So he put the articles for worshipping Durga on the doorstep of Srivasta Kaur. So when Srivasta Kaur opened his door in the morning and saw the spare familiar there, He called all the neighbors and said, "Everyone see, I'm a Shakti worshipper. I'm worshipping Durga." Because they knew it wasn't true, and they took all the paraphernalia away and cleaned up the place with cow dung, cow urine to purify the area. But his name was Gopal Chapla, Gopal Chapla is another story. So, because he offended a great devotee of the Lord, he immediately came down with leprosy. And leprosy is very contagious. So, he had to go and live outside the village, in the forest. And he was suffering greatly. Pain, leprosy is very painful. And when Lord Chaitanya happened to be coming by, he asked Lord Chaitanya to relieve him of his suffering. But Lord Chaitanya said that I will not relieve you of your suffering, and your suffering has just begun, because Yamaraj has 84 lakhs of sufferings to dish out for different to the sinful people, and you'll have to suffer through every single one of them. But then he told him, if you go to Srivastakur and beg forgiveness and ask for his mercy, then you can get free from your leprosy and get free from your offense. So he did that, and he became a Vaishnav, poet. So in this way, if you're offending Krishna or offending devotees, it's very detrimental to a spiritual life, committing offenses. But if you offend a Vaishnava, your spiritual life can be stopped or checked even for many lifetimes. And that's one of the reasons that people leave Krishna consciousness, because they commit an offense. Commit offenses or criticize devotees. They lose their taste for hearing and chanting, devotional service, and decide that to go out, leave the society and live outside. But it's not something we want to do. We should be very careful about not committing offenses. So we have the obeisances every day. Vancha kalpa jujascha kivasinvevicha hanam pamnevyo vaishnevyo namo namaha. So we're offering for everyone to forgive us if we commit an offense, either big or small, and all the acharyas and everyone, we're praying for forgiveness. So if we do inadvertently commit an offense or knowingly commit an offense, we should repent and try to get forgiven for that offense, so we don't have to suffer. So we don't have to leave the movement, because if you leave the movement, then you're never going to become fully Krishna conscious, never going to be happy in life. You always have to be suffering. Because Maya, even if you try to leave the movement, Maya is always there. Maya is very strong. Daivyesha gunamayi. And once you taste the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet, even if you try to leave the movement, you'll never forget that. Somehow or other, those people who left will eventually come back to Krishna consciousness. But we just shouldn't. We should be very careful that that doesn't happen. The Krishna consciousness movement is essential in human society, for it offers the highest perfection of life. How this is so is explained fully in Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, mundane wranglers have taken advantage of Krishna Bhagavad Gita to push forward their own demoniac propensities and mislead people regarding right understanding of the simple principles of life. Everyone should know how God or Krishna is great. Everyone should know the factual position of living entities. Everyone should know that a living entity is eternally a servant, and that unless one serves Krishna, one has to serve illusion in different varieties of the three modes of material nature, and thus wander perpetually in the cycle of birth and death. Even the so-called liberated Mayavadi speculators has to undergo this process. This knowledge constitutes a great science, and each and every living entity, living being, has to hear it for his own interests. So Prabhupada told us what is what, who is who, and that everyone has to go through this cycle. Deino smin yata dehe, komaram yovanam jura, tata deyantra patir dura chatranamuyate. Everyone has to go through this cycle, repeated birth and death, and remain bound up in the material world. Young people don't know it, or want to negate, say there's nothing after this life, or when you come to human form of life, you're not going to be degraded to a lower species. But you know, one great king, whose name was Nariga, he gave in charity so many thousands and millions of cows to brahmanas. But one time, one cow wandered back into his herd. He gave it the second time. And both the brahmanas came to him and complained, "You gave me a cow, and now you're taking it back." So he said, "I'll give you 100,000 cows and forget the whole thing." But they were smarter Brahmins, and they weren't willing to forget it. They said, "No, we don't accept that." So he had to go to Yamaraj. He went to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj said, "Well, you have a choice. You've accumulated heaps of pious activities, so you can go to heaven and enjoy for unlimited amount of time, or you can suffer for your sinful activities." So he became a little, he got bewildered, and he said, "Okay, well, let me suffer first." So he had to come back in a lizard body, not in a human body. There are many other examples where people get cursed and have to come back in different kinds of bodies. But fortunately, Krishna saved him from that lizard body. But so this proves that it's a misconception that people have that once you come to human form, you're not going to have to go back into lower species. Anybody can fall down. If you commit offenses in the holy dham, especially if you have illicit sex, then you have to come back at the time of death and take birth as an animal with a short life, get free from your sinful activities, and then you can go back to Godhead. Because in the dham, there's no, Yamaraj doesn't come to the holy dham, but Krishna karma. So Krishna directly decides what your next destination will be when you leave your body. So Prabhupada warned that we should not stay in Vrindavan. If someone is a sinful person, then he should not stay in Vrindavan for more than 3 days. So he made that policy. Life members can come and stay in the guest house free for 3 days. And because they're addicted to sinful activities, then they'll commit sinful activities if they stay a long period. So the better to just come for short visits and leave and not commit grievous offenses in the holy dham, which they have to suffer for in the future. People in general, especially in this age of Kali, are enamored by the external energy of Krishna, and they wrongly think that by advancement of material comforts, every man will be happy. They have no knowledge that material or external nature is very strong, for everyone is strongly bound by stringent laws of material nature. A living entity is happily the part and parcel of the Lord, and thus his natural function to render immediate service to the Lord. By the spell of illusion, one tries to be happy by serving his personal sense gratification in different forms which will never make him happy. Instead of satisfying his personal material senses, he has to satisfy the senses of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of life. The Lord wants this, and he demands it. One has to understand this central point of Bhagavad Gita. Our Krishna consciousness movement is to teach the whole world this central point, because we are not polluting the theme of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Anyone seriously interested in deriving benefit by studying Bhagavad Gita must take help from the Krishna consciousness movement for practical understanding of Bhagavad Gita under the direction of the Lord. We hope, therefore, that people will derive the greatest benefit from studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, as we have presented it here. If even one man becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, we shall consider our mission a success. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. So again, Prabhupada is stressing the importance of human form of life. Nede vidu sarvakatimhi Vishnu. Plymar says the goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. People are trying to be happy in this material world, but happiness in the material world is like trying to extinguish a fire by putting more fuel in the fire. Lust, greed, and anger, three gates to hell. People are trying to increase the fire instead of putting out the fire. So we have this modern civilization. We created all these modern amenities to make people happy. So you can go fast in the car, you can fly in the airplanes, and this and that. And now instead of being happy, they're unhappy, and more and more people are becoming depressed and more unhappy and working hard day and night, not knowing what the mission of life is or anything about spiritual life. So we are hoping that by distributing the Bhagavad Gita, distributing Prabhupada's books, that people will take the time to read them and come to their senses. When someone's insane, you take him to a doctor and he has to be treated. It's very difficult to make someone who's insane, sane again. But it is possible. So the whole world is insane after sense gratification. And to make them sane again is a very difficult job. But those people who are not envious, who are innocent and looking for a higher, better alternative and a better way of life, become interested in Krishna consciousness. And we have so many wonderful preachers all over the world who are trying to make a dent in this modern civilization and bring people to Krishna consciousness to realize that what they're doing is simply a waste of time trying to accumulate wealth, accumulate so many material things to be happy. But here Prabhupada says that this will never make them happy. You can't be happy by any kind of material arrangement. It's like when you chew sugar cane, you get a sweet taste, but then you spit it out and it's not sweet anymore. But if you try to chew it again, you won't get any taste. So they're chewing the chewed. Plymar says it's chewing the chewed. They're trying to get some, eke out some enjoyment in the material world. But it doesn't work. And they just become more and more frustrated. So Prabhupada often said that all his devotees were pure devotees. But here he's saying that if he made one pure devotee, he'd say his mission would be successful. So it sounds like a contradiction, but as long as one is following strictly the four regular principles, chanting 16 rounds attentively without committing offenses to the holy name or to devotees, then they would consider someone a pure devotee. Even though he have material desires and still influenced by the mode of passion, ignorance, if one is following strictly, he can be considered to some degree a pure devotee. That to be a real pure devotee, ambiyala sita sunyam jnana prakama navritam anukulena krishna no bhaktu uttamam. A pure devotee is free from jnana, free from karma, free from all, and only interested in pure devotional service, nothing else. And so the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita is the ABC to spiritual life, and the Bhagavatam is the college study, the university study, and the Caitanya Charitamrita is the postgraduate study. So this way, Bhagavad Gita is giving so much, bringing people to the point when you've studied Bhagavad Gita, then you can study Srimad Bhagavatam and Caitanya Charitamrita, and understand that what is the perfection of life and how one should not be wasting his human form of life running here and dog like the cats and dogs just for sex life and so many things. So we're hoping that someone, that Prabhupada's mission will be successful. And of course we see many of Prabhupada's disciples are very pure and giving Krishna consciousness without any adulteration and making people understand that we're not this body, hum brahmasmi, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that our whole life should be centered around trying to develop our love for Krishna. We read this morning, if you do your duty, you may have some service, temple president, accountant, whatever it may be, majority. If you're doing your duty nicely, but if you're not trying to become Krishna conscious, then you're wasting your life, wasting your time. So the Vanashram Dharma system is there, but it's also meant to, along with Krishna consciousness, it should be practiced along with Krishna consciousness to make people Krishna conscious at the same time. So we have the Bhakti. We're practicing Bhakti Bhakti, practice following the rules and regulations, so that someday we can come to Raga Bhakti or Raga Nuga Bhakti, a higher level of sadhana, and develop our love for Krishna. So it's a gradual process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, but still, we have to be patient. We have to endeavor with enthusiasm and be confident that somehow Krishna consciousness is the only path to follow, and that if we follow it strictly, that even if we don't go back to Godhead in this life, we'll get another chance in our next life until we do become pure devotees and go back home, back to Godhead. So does anybody have any comments or questions? All right, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.